listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, the Notorious V.I.C., coming to you on the first place Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've had two Victory Mondays and now a Victory Friday in a row.
Oh,
I like this. It is a beautiful thing.
You can get used to this, as they say.
You certainly can. We are going to get to Terry Pluto in just a second. Let's go now to John in Dallas. John, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Lifelong Browns fan, but boy, I got to tell you, them fans last night were an embarrassment. And Vic, I kind of tell you wanted to say it earlier, but you couldn't. So I'll say it for you. They were an embarrassment when they started booing Whedon. He's your guy at that point. Hoyer's carted off. And I got to say, the moment Hoyer was carted off, I think set the world record for 120,000 people getting kicked in the cojones within 24 hours. But with that said, Whedon's our guy. The fans, stop drinking so much. You don't got to get drunk at a game. Go have a beer or two and shut it down and stop the stupid booing. Go Browns.
Thank you.
Go Browns. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go now to Terry Pluto joining us. Terry, an amazing, impressive win by this Browns team. A lot of things went wrong, but ultimately the final score went correctly. Thanks for joining us here tonight. And how do you feel now removed from the fact that this team is 3-2?
Amazed that they're 3-2 and amazed. One, look, any of us have been around here for 10 minutes know that the moment Hoyer got hurt and a couple other things happened. Remember in the game, Gordon dropped that ball, which was a huge game, maybe even a touchdown. I just said, oh boy, they're going to lose national TV. The Indians lost tonight, but went into all my Cleveland stuff. And suddenly I was listening to your broadcast, you guys kind of outlined the whole game, the runs and everything else, but I just thought the two big passes, the back ones, changed the tenor of the entire game.
Terry, yeah. The issue with, just the reaction, and it's understandable.
Yeah.
I know people, are heartbroken for a lot of reasons. The main one, he was 2-0 as a starter, put a spark that this team did not have in its offense. But give me some perspective now on, how you see things going forward with Brandon Whedon and how, how people will kind of deal with that.
Well, fans don't like this, but sometimes fans do some really dumb things. And just because you buy a ticket, you can boo, but the question is, should. And last I checked, I don't think it was Brandon Whedon who tripped Hoyer. So let's, be real here. And secondly, we've done nothing to embarrass himself, the field, or the team, or any of that. For I remember doing a long Vinny Testaverde when he said to me, I get it when I throw an interception or something like that, and I just have a really bad game. He said, well, I come into a game and I get booed. And then I see a guy that I played with and get out of jail on charges or multiple drug charges, and he gets his probation. He says, that bothers me. And that always stuck with me. He said, I don't mind being booed performance, but it's kind of, let's not, turn this into some judgment on somebody. So I was happy for Brandon. And look, there are the things I agree with you, Vic. I was surprised, frankly, ill-prepared he looked when he went in. And that should be thrilled.
Terry, you're fine. I know your phone is. We got some issues, but your thoughts are always valuable to the show, and we appreciate it. And I know you've got some other assignments you have to get to as well. But thank you for taking a little time to join us and share some of those thoughts. And we'll catch up with you soon, my friend.
All right. Sorry about the bad connection.
Okay. All right. He is Terry Pluto from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Yeah, a little rough phone connection. But he made, in the time that we had him there, and hopefully that was heard, I think spoke well for what this fan base kind of feels and gets. And we understand, and I do understand. But, you got to go beyond that now. If you're really aboard with if winning matters to you or – And that's the thing. I don't want to see this rut occur, this vicious cycle of, is it about winning or is it about worrying and complaining about how you're getting there now? I mean, that's because that's really what this is down to, is you get so used to, perpetual struggle that you still want to find a way, including when you've paid a ticket to go in there, you still want to find a way to you know, kind of dump on it. And I'm bothered by that. You know, I really am bothered by it. There should have been – that was an electric night, and it should stay that way. That should be the overwhelming, resounding point of what we experienced last night. And I choose to stay there, and that's not a homer thing. That is – I think that should be the real situation. Once again – 3-2, once again, alone in first place in the AFC freaking North. If I told you that before the season, if I told you on October 4th that the Browns were going to be there, if I said that to you, would you have signed up for that in August or the offseason or any time? You know, if I said that.
We did say they'd be 3-2. I didn't know it'd be first in the AFC North, but it is. You're exactly right. And listen. This is the first time this team has been above 500 since 2007.
What again? What else is there? Because that is what we're supposed to be striving for and wanting and enjoying. And what do you show up for the game for? What are you there for? Why do you commit all those hours? Because it's a commitment, and especially on a night game on a Thursday during the week. And it's all, you know, it was sending home a lot of Buffalo people, and I knew a whole bunch of them there. I was sick last year on a Sunday afternoon when the place became the Buffalo Bills' second stadium after Ralph Wilson Stadium. There were so many Bills jerseys, and they were euphoric, and they took control of the place at the end. I was nauseated by that, and I'm speaking as someone who obviously knows very closely connected with Buffalo, and it's not because of the connection. It's because no other team should take over our stadium, our place. They did last year. They took it over in a big way, and it was sickening. It just said, this is how bad this team is. This is how hopeless it is, and the fan base gives up, and they just say, hey, take over, guys. It's your place. No, it's
not
our
anymore.
House. It's the Browns' house, and last night, yes, there were fewer Bills jerseys there, and when it was all said and done, I mean, they were carping and yelling and making a lot of noise before the game. They were real quiet and went home and you know, off into the night, off into the dark night.
And I also
sent them home.
They
sent,
were sent
sent
home.
Them east, down 90, back to Buffalo, back to Western
New York. Go on back to New York. Thank you very little for coming. You know, the best part about it, though, the crowd at the end, I thought, on the final drive was phenomenal. It was deafening in that place. It was rocking and rolling. And Jeff Toole, who was struggling to play in perfect circumstances, had a tougher time. And I think the crowd had a big part in that at the end because they were loud. And that's what it was like. It was at the very end of the game when the crowd sensed anything we can do to maintain this six-point lead is huge for us. I thought the crowd really stepped up. Pick six, game over. Good night, Irene. See ya. Put the Bills to bed. I loved it, and I thought ultimately it turned out it was a great showing for the city of Cleveland. Obviously, you know, we've talked about the Whedon thing enough, but now it's a celebration. It's a celebration of this team. It's a celebration of this organization and what they've done. And as Rob Jedzinski says, you got to get back to work, and you got to keep going next on the schedule, the Detroit Lions, in 9 days. But I'll tell you what, I'm so proud of this team and proud of what I saw on the field, the resolve, when they had many opportunities. Say what you want, and I know what goes on in that locker room is what goes on in that locker room. We're in the building. We talk to you guys on a daily basis here on Cleveland Browns Daily. So we know the pulse of the fan. Think about the fact where you were 15 days ago. 15 days ago was the day after Trent Richardson was traded. Yeah. Think about what you were thinking about this Browns team. Think about what you were thinking about this Browns season.
I could play the tape of what they were thinking, the tapes, because they were on our voicemail line, and they were...
ugly. It was
beyond
ugly.
Ugly, over the top, incredibly, you know, hateful. Now, the word was hate. You know, I hear that, don't hate on somebody. This is just pure... the hatred at its purest in some of the stuff that I've still kept in the files here on our Cleveland Browns Daily voicemail inbox, and to the point where some of the comments would just turn your stomach, because again, those folks, I don't want those people to be fans of the team. I don't want them as fans. They call themselves even season ticket holders. Thank you. Sell them. Give them to somebody else. I don't need you in the stadium. I don't want you around the team. I don't want you to be part of any part of my world with that sort of approach of the hate level that was directed to unnecessarily. You can disagree and be upset with what a team does. Don't take it to that level, and don't tell me that's passion. That's just sick stuff. So
I agree.
That said, and I'm not going to go into detail, but
for the non-sickos, though, who were disenchanted with what was going on, just think about where you've gotten in 15 days. In 15 days, this team has won 3 football games in the NFL. That's not easy to do. They've gotten it done.
No.
They've rallied. They've done it in face of adversity where the whole world said they couldn't do it. By the way, Brian Hoyer made his first start, just 10 days ago.
Yeah.
So they got it done in the face of adversity. with Brian Hoyer. Two games in a row. Brandon Weeden comes in. It looks like the sky is falling. He takes the field down 7-0. But in the blink of an eye, he throws two passes. They're down 10-0. And yet they found a way to win. I don't care who the quarterback is. I don't care. You know, people are – Joe Hayden didn't make a great play on that pass interference in the end zone. So what? At the ultimate – at the end of the day, it's a 60-minute contest between two football teams, and the Cleveland Browns have shown so much resolve inside of that locker room. When everybody else said the season was over, they said, no, the season isn't over. And that coaching staff, the leadership exhibited by Rob Chudzinski and Norv Turner and Ray Horton has been phenomenal, the entire coaching staff, to get these guys ready and to find a way to win. That's what's been missing from the Cleveland Browns. They played in a lot of competitive games last year. They didn't
find a way to win.
A way
to lose. And,
right.
And coaching was a big part of that, and player attitude was a big part of that, and you had the wrong guys in that locker room. A lot of those wrong guys are gone. A lot of that bad attitude is out of here because it was the same old thinking and mindset, and some of them are iconic people. You know, people loved what Josh Cribbs did in his best.
Sure.
I don't know that his locker room dynamic did the best thing for this team. I just don't. And ultimately, you make those moves based on what a player doesn't have left in the tank or physically can't do anymore. It's basically that will always determine a guy not being here. But there's a refreshing attitude and a fresher approach when you bring in other people like Paul Kruger and his Super Bowl ring. And you bring in a Desmond Bryant. You bring in the people you brought in from other places with totally no connection to this oppressive history that weighs down that has weighed down on the fan base and continues to in many ways, unfortunately. But once it starts weighing down on players and coaches, and that's where it was happening here, I think, I don't see that anymore. I don't see it when I walk in the locker room. I don't see it when I'm walking around the building. And, yes, Rob Chudzinski, assistant coaches, Horton, Turner, the whole staff is responsible for keeping that at bay. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns_daily. It's a victory Friday. We want you to be part of this conversation. We look forward to it. That's what we're here for.
Call us.
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, ESPN 850, WKNR.